when the scripture says this. It's just saying that, no, everyone has their desired role in the house and their calling from the Lord. And this saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And when they had prayed and laid hands on them and him, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And so I would say it this way. When you're doing the ordinary, God can do the extraordinary. And so never discount the everyday business of things that need to be done. When there's a need and you're there and you see it, and you're it. And that's what a deacon does primarily, but that doesn't excuse the rest of the body for stepping into the gap as well. And so they needed practical help. We need practical help. I don't think you understand how many things need to be done on a regular basis in this house. It is a lot. And so the example there in the early church was God gave them wisdom in adding deacons to help them fulfill their ministry and meet the needs of the people, the growing church. And this church is going to grow. Hello? We are poised for growth and for a move of the Holy Spirit, and there will be other deacons appointed in the coming days, and we're working on that as well. So in appointing Barbara as deacon today, we are simply recognizing what she is already doing and has been doing. For the past number of years, at least, Barbara has seen a need and taken upon herself to meet that need, just to do it. She doesn't even have to ask about certain things. We just say, oh, that got done. I wonder who did it. And she also comes to us when she sees a need and offers her assistance, but makes us aware of things that she recognizes are not being done. So she's given her time very generously in greeting, counting, in the kitchen, organizing events, in women's ministry, teaching, encouraging, and so forth. The list is long. And her character is above reproach. So we should say it more often, but today we're thanking you, Barbara. You are a blessing to me and Kathy and to this house, and we honor you for that. So, Barbara, will you, as a believer in and follower of Jesus first, and then as a deacon second, commit to live according to 1 Timothy 3:8-9? Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. That's cultural. That's why they're bringing this up in the scripture. Not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Will you continue to live in a way that honors our Lord Jesus, your Lord Jesus? Speak truth, be sober-minded, and not after material gain. Will you hold to the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience? All right, that's the answer I'm looking for. We are likewise confident of this, Barbara. And she has stood the test of time. It's not like a recent thing. This has been consistent, observable, and, you know, everybody should know it and recognize it. Because it says in verse 10 in that same chapter, also, first be tested. You don't just, and I've seen in other churches where I've been where they prematurely gave a person a title or a position or a function, and they were not mature enough, and it went to their head, and it was a disaster. So we've allowed time, we've taken time to for testing. Then they served as deacons and being found blameless. So will you, Barbara? No, I didn't ask this. Will you support Barbara Church as she serves you in the house? And the body says, with God's help, we will. So with that, she is duly appointed, and I'm going to ask the presbyters also to come, and we're going to anoint her and pray over her for her new official role as a deacon in the house.
Stephen had a strong spiritual aspect about him also, and Barbara has that as well. You know, when we planned, how many women's fall fests have we planned together? 6 or 7. She always seeks the Lord, and she gets the scripture for the event, and that's only one thing. That's only one thing. Here's the Lord and what we should study, women's Bible studies and things like that, faithful in prayer.
I just keep getting the word beget. Do you know what beget means? It means you're going to beget something, okay? You're going to get something. You're going to produce something. You're going to create something of that nature. And the Lord just kept on saying to me, Barbara is going to beget other deacons by your example. So along with all the wonderful things you're doing, there's a lot of growth that's going to come to the house. And it's great to have ministry appointed, it's great to have elders appointed, and all the nuances of what runs churches. But they only can do half a job if there's not someone to pick up with their hands. And I just sensing the Lord just says, tell her I'm going to give you a beget anointing to help this house find people who want to serve with no alternative motive, just want to serve. And as you see that and you start sharing that with your pastor, God says, I'm going to put an anointing on those you identify, and I'm going to empower them to serve. Amen.
Yes, Pastor Mack was introducing us to, or reminding us of what how deacon office came into being. He said, and the scriptures bore this out, that because there was a murmuring. There was a murmuring, and some people weren't being served, and things weren't happening. And this is like the only office I can think of in the Bible that was appointed as a result of kind of being able to put out a fire, you know? And I really believe that that is an anointing that you have. You're a fire putter-outer, you know? You can see a spark a mile away, and you can keep it from becoming a full-blown incident. A lot of things you handle that probably people don't even know about, where you've just said, you don't need to worry about that, you know. Because people trust you, they're confident. I just think that's a quality that you have, and I agree with Pastor Rao. I think your role here now is not only to serve, but it's to serve those who are going to be raised up to serve. You know, be like a master deacon trainer. and you'll teach them about this specific thing, what I just said. This office was born in controversy, and it put out the fires. And there's nothing that can agitate. I think the worst job to have, I think, if you were to go work in retail, would be the customer service desk. Because, you know, all you do is you hear people's complaints. I took this home and it didn't work, and now I'm bringing it back. Or they overcharged me for this. And, you know, you hear all kinds of stuff and got to put up with a lot of people's angst and attitudes and all. I think you're well suited to that. Don't let it ever rattle you. Let your calmness and quietness and meekness just dispel when people come and they're, oh, and they will. We're all human beings, and things happen. Our lives collide, and things don't happen in a timely manner sometimes, or as quick as they could have, or someone made a mistake, or a door was left unlocked, or they didn't fold the tablecloth right, or whatever. You know, it's amazing what people will complain about, you know? But you can be the person who says, quiet, calm down. You can be like customer service and say, it's all taken care of. We're going to do whatever it takes to make this right. And that was the attitude of those deacons when they went out there to serve the people. We're going to do whatever it takes to make this right. And that was exactly what was the wisdom of the apostles when they prayed, to send people who would do whatever it takes to make it right.
Yeah, and I would also like to add, this would be my description of her service with grace. That's very, very important, to not offend, to wait for the right opportunity, to speak words with seasoned with grace, as the Bible says. And, you know, it's not always easy, especially when people are like, rubbing you the wrong way. And so she's got that ability, and that's what you call putting out the fires before they even get started. Amen? So we honor you today. We release you today. We love you. We appreciate you so much in what you do. And Lord, we just ask for the anointing that she needs to accomplish everything you have planned and purposed for her, both personally and in this house. For your glory, we pray, Jesus. We honor you and Christ in her. We honor as well in Jesus' name. God be the glory.
This is really to all of us that are here. You know, offices are not restrictive. You know, there's Scripture says he that uses the office of a deacon well purchases for themselves a great reward. You think about the deacons that were chosen in the New Testament. Philip becomes an evangelist down in Samaria. One goes and witnesses to a eunuch. You think about what a huge thing that was, this Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he was pretty much, he was a guy who had been pretty much castrated and for sexual services and was forbidden to be even in the temple. There would have been signs when he went to Jerusalem that said, you don't belong here, you can't have access, you're no good. And he's there reading the book. And this deacon comes along and helps him understand what he's read and accepts him, loves on him, ministers the word, brings clarity to him, whom the religious system rejected. You know, this is our ministry. You see, people have been abused in this world. They've been hurt. They've been taken advantage of. Many have lost their dignity or have been abused by somebody. And it was this deacon who really ministered to him. And I'm still feeling that strong word I felt earlier just about healing the brokenhearted. There was a banner that was in this church for a long, long, long time. I remember when it was put up. And I just see, and I know the ministry that is here and healings that have taken place. And I don't know, I just feel like there's so much more to come. And in a very real sense, some of you have been here so long, you're all deacons and deaconesses and servants of the Lord. Don't see these offices as restrictive and locked in. They're expansive. And we can all are called our ministers of the gospel. We're all servants of the Lord, amen, in that sense. So, amen. We just honor you for your work, and we honor you for your work as well.
And, you know, some of you don't know, but we signed up for this online app, and, you know, sometimes we get one visitor a day, or Sometimes we get 12 or 20 a day. And overwhelmingly, who is contacting us is the broken, the depressed, fractured relationships. I mean, it's uncanny. And that's just a small sampling of what's out there. And so that, my friends, that's what's coming into the church. It's not the easy ones. It's not the polished ones. You know, it's the ones that they're going to take some, the Lord's going to clean up the fish. The Holy Spirit will bring them into the house, and then the Lord. Yeah, you have to catch the fish before you clean them. That's right. And so it's going to be a process, and we have to be willing to pay the price. If the church is going to grow, you have to be willing to pay the price. It is inconvenient. It is costly. It will take your time. It will take your finances. But what is a life worth that's redeemed? I mean, come on. We were there. I was there. And the Lord plucked me out of my sinful, decrepit lifestyle. And he cleaned me up. But, you know, I'm in the ministry today because of people who he sent my way to encourage me and minister to me and help me get out of the gutter. So God bless you, Barbara. There's a lot of work to be done, and you'll be doing some of it. All right, I want the worship team folks to come up. Just come up to the front, those that are here still. You know, no matter where your little niche in the house is to serve, there's always challenges. And most of the time, people don't tell you that they appreciate what you do. So I want to tell you, I appreciate what you do. And that will set the tone for the prophetic to be unlocked and released. Amen?
Is there anything as a worship team that you feel like you're looking for a breakthrough in? Something that you feel or is a hindrance or an obstacle that you keep coming up against? What would the prayer be today? Lord, we want and we need this. What's the answer to that? Equipment? Upgrades to the equipment? Okay. Anything else? That's a practical thing. Yeah. What are anything spiritually that you sense when you guys pray before your rehearsals, before services? You're like, Lord, we want you to. You know, I'm a worship leader myself and play guitar. I know the typical things, but I also know that you also discern certain things that when you're leading worship, you feel like we're getting to this point, and boy, I just feel like God wants us. What is that? Go ahead.
I want more people to mentor. I want more people.
Can I tell you what I think when I see? I feel that what is featured here is not oftentimes what's featured in other places where there's worship. If there's a feature here that people will be attracted to, it is simply worship. It's not, oh, we got this awesome keyboardist player, we got this awesome guitar guy. You guys are good. But you're not trying to be the feature. You're not trying to be what it's all about. What you want to be is what you've set your heart on, I believe, and that is, God, we want your presence to be here. We just want to worship, and we want to help your people worship. And this is important for you to hear this, because you're not coming here for a feature. You're not coming here for a production. You're not coming here as observers. You're coming as participants. And the only reason they're even on the platform playing keys, playing guitar, is so that we can worship. And that's been a huge feature of this house in the 20-plus years that I've known. It's always been the sense of worship in God's presence here. If you're looking for a feature, there's lots of other places that feature a lot of things, and you'll be dazzled by the electronics, and you'll be dazzled by all the lights and all the thing, and it'll be an experience. But what we want people to experience here is worship. And I know that's what's in your hearts. Amen. So, but we're going to pray. These other things are important too. We need equipment. We need a bass player. Be nice. We can pray for these things and so on.
I just want to add one thing. We say worship team, and it kind of says, okay, here's the team, and there's the congregation. You are the worshipers. You are, they're just leading you into worship. They're not the team over you. And this is, it's a lot of congregations, they don't get it, all right? It's just like they say, we're looking for ministry. Well, the Bible says, you're the ministry, we just facilitate it. We're nothing special, okay? Well, they're just the facilitators of worship. You are literally the worship team. And so as Pastor Ryan prays, let's believe in anointing, because I believe there's an epiphany coming with this team, that you're going to touch the heavens. And your worship is not going to be a canned worship. There's coming a day where you're not going to have to look for the canned songs to play them, to get everybody to do something. It's just going to flow. Because worship comes from God's people, not from the instruments out. Anything of God comes from within. If you're looking for God from something outside, it's temporary, it's man-orientated, and most of the time it's loaded with flesh. But if you get something that's personal and you start worshiping the Lord, instead of the worship leaders pulling worship out of you, you are pulling worship out of them because they see you responding. And he said, oh, you know, we're going to join in with the worshipers now and touch heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, it comes from the heart, first of all. It's not about talent. Talent is great. You know, wouldn't deny that. And so it starts with prayer. Lord, what would you want? Don't look at yourself and think you're not qualified if you're a worshiper. If you're a worshiper, you are already qualified. And then how it works, you talk to me, you talk to the team, you come to practice, you observe, how do I fit? How do I sync with who's already on the team? And it's a process, and it's relaxed, and it's comfortable, and not a stress thing at all. And, you know, I remember when Muriel first came on the team. Now that's been how long? A few years. 3 years. And how did you? You came and sat, right, originally, through worship practice. You know, I found out, you know, Muriel wants to be considered to be on the worship team. And so that's when it all starts. That's when the prayer support is so, so crucial. And the team that's already in place, supporting, encouraging. And so it's all a process, just like every other thing in ministry.
Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the anointing upon these vessels, Lord, that have been set apart, Lord, for this ministry in the church. We thank you for the talent, Lord, the ability. There's ability here to play, ability to sing, ability to strum, ability, Lord, to pick up sticks and beat the drum, Lord. But we know it's a lot more than just these abilities, God. These abilities could have been used for many things. They could have been used for own personal agendas. But, Lord, these abilities have been surrendered to you for the express purpose of creating an atmosphere of worship. And we thank you today, God, for yielded hearts and vessels. We pray, Lord, that these technical needs will be met. If there's equipment, Lord, that needs to be updated or trans, you provide the means, God, for that to happen and to occur. We pray, God, for an increased anointing, Lord, as we wait upon you in the services and trust you, Lord, in the in-between times, Lord. It's not just the singing of the song, but those moments of waiting, those Selah moments the Psalms speak of, where we simply are wait, when we are silent, Lord, when hearts are yielding and strongholds are being broken and walls are being torn down. We thank you, God, for the sensitivity in those moments and pray even, God, for prophetic breakthroughs, not only in these individuals' lives, God, but they too will be used, God, to bring prophetic breakthroughs in the people's lives themselves, either through the instrumentation and the way that they are playing, God, or in the prophetic message of song, Lord, that would come forth. In Jesus' name, we release a greater anointing upon them, Father, to serve and to facilitate, God, the moving of your Holy Spirit in the midst of the people here. In Jesus' name.
Lord. You know, without exception, the Lord wants to unlock our spirit to worship him completely with abandon. That's the goal. And you know, when we come into the kingdom, we come in with, we're all carrying stuff. And Holy Spirit helps us to unload that stuff and free us so that we can worship him as he deserves. And I have a great vision for the worship in this house, even being more exceptional than it already is. I thank God, as I said already, for each one of you. God bless.
You know, I think this is wonderful what we're doing because it, you know, it just gives us a chance to have some conversation, talk about very important elements of the church, you know, ordination, leadership, servanthood, and worship. So I'm really thankful for this time. What happens in worship? You know, the scripture says, and you can finish this verse, commit your self unto the Lord, and what? He will establish your paths. Commit, say it again, commit your, and he will, right. Or there's another passage that says, you know, commit your ways. Sometimes we think of it as commit your plans. Like, okay, God, here's my plans, here's what I'm going to do. Now I'm asking you now to bless it. That's actually not what the way it works. It's you commit, and then he directs. Amen. That's the part we have the hardest time with. We think, well, I want to do this, so God, I want you to bless it. That's not what he's saying. It's no, you commit, and then it is what it is. Afterwards, he directs it. And that's what worship helps facilitate. Worship helps facilitate me as a worshiper, whether on the platform or out here in the chairs. Worship helps facilitate me getting committed. And you know what? There's not a one of us in this room that are fully committed. That's really the truth, including myself. I mean, we're as committed as we think we can be. But there's only one who's ever lived that's been fully committed, and his name is Jesus Christ. He fully committed, and he was totally committed all the way to the cross, full obedience, fully emptied himself, which is a beautiful thing because we get to be hidden in his commitment. We get to be hidden in Christ. His obedience becomes righteousness to me, what he did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't qualify ourselves for anything by our worship. All we can do is do the best we can as God, I commit. That's why we call it the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of worship. And Lord, receive the lifting of my hands, as David said, as the sacrifice. Because the best we can do is just say, Lord, I'm committed to you. I trust you. And then God promises, okay, I see what you're doing. Now I'm going to direct things. I'm going to direct it in the way I want it to go. I'm going to direct your life. I'm going to direct this church. I'm going to direct. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not like we think, okay, Lord, I got this plan. I commit it to you. It's no. God's saying, no, you just commit to me. I'll take care of the rest. And we get the opportunity to do that every time we gather together and worship. Every morning you get up and surrender your day to the Lord and your time with Jesus, whether it's in his word or in prayer. Every day we get to commit to him. And these guys help us do that. Amen? You help us do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. End of sermon.
So, Catherine, you never got a proper send-off when you left us, and quite frankly, you know, I believe there's still a connection in the spirit with us, and I think you know that. How God will work that all out, I don't know. But I'd like you to come up for prayer. When they moved further away from the church, that was when she stopped coming. And, enough said.
Well, if I cry, I cry. Okay. Your name is Catherine, but you served in many ways like Barbara. And just were a big support to me personally. Women's ministry in other ways. We miss you.
Lord whispered in my heart as you came up here, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he that delights in his ways, even if he falls, he'll not be cast down, for the Lord upholds him in his hands. And I do believe this is like a banner over your life. It's been many failings and fallings, but the Lord has picked up, carried in many instances, and supplied all that you've needed. And this is because there's a righteousness. There's a righteousness that's been worked in your life. There's a goodness. There's a wholesomeness. There's an integrity that's been worked into you over the long haul that is deep, that is true. You're a trusted friend by many people. They know they can count on you. So we say amen. We say the Lord may he prosper you and bless you wherever you go. May he increase your household. And may there be provision and blessing, you know, grace and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And your greatest joy, as the psalmist said at the end of Psalm 23, you know, David, as an old man, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your motto. Wherever you go, you're going to find the house of the Lord. You're going to be there. You're going to be counted among the saints. You are numbered among the saints of God. And God bless you. And you're going out and you're coming in. Praise the Lord.
You feel like you've been ripped out. You were so tightly sewn to this garment. And it's hard to reconcile. What are you doing with me, God? And God just says, tell her that I'm going to teach you that all things do work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. And as God takes you out, please understand that God is the one that directs your steps. God's the one that plants you where you are. So don't feel like you've been ripped out. Feel like you've been placed to a new place where you can shine. And what you do, is, and you serve, I've watched you for years. And you were a vital part of this place. And this place is still feels the ripping away, the void of you, which is evident by your pastors. But that will be healed. And God will send someone to help them and serve them. The biggest thing the Lord's saying is get rid of this guilt that you left them. And look at this that you've been sent. Get rid of the guilt, the condemnation, that you hurt them because you're gone. God's healing your heart even as we pray right now. And as Pastor Ryan and I and Pastor are going to lay hands on you, I believe there's going to be a sovereign healing of your spirit and your heart. There is no condemnation for following the Lord, even though we don't understand why he does what he does. And so we're going to pray. Kathy, can you pray? No, I'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lay hands on our dear sister. Sister, I decree your spirit healed right now. I decree the ripping parts of something ripped away in your life is now going to be sewn. All the loose ends are going to be sewn up, and it's going to be like a new garment. And there's a healing in your spirit. I bind the spirit that has put guilt on you and that you've rejected and that you've walked away from something, even though much of it was out of your control. But the enemy still throws that stuff at us. That's bound, gone, in the name of Jesus. And we decree you healed and set for your new path. For you are called for a purpose of God. And let God have his way in your life. Rejoice. And the last thing I'll say to you is the Lord just running this through my spirit. Get hope back in your life because you've lost your hope. Get hope back in your life. You're going to be all right.
Now, I was just thinking about when we left Elam, we had our truck packed and he graduated and I felt like a little bird being kicked out of what was a very comfortable nest for me for 4 years. You know, and you've been here for many years, and this has been home, but you have a new home physically where you and your husband live, and you're going to have a new home spiritually, and that's okay. You can always come back. You can always come to visit. You're always welcome. This is like Mom and Daddy's home, and now you're going to another house. You always come back and visit Mom and Dad.
So, yeah, bring the grandkids, that's right. So I release you. We release you to the fulfillment of God's purposes and plans and to receive all the blessings that he has in store for you in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, moving right along. Is there a JoJo in the house? Where is JoJo? You know, I just want to say, Joe, first of all, I love you. You know that already, but it's hard not to when you're the best. But I would feel like the Lord would say, you're not being overlooked today. You know, this was their season, this was their time to be ordained today, but that doesn't mean you're any less significant or any less important to this house. and to me as well. And so we're just validating who he is this afternoon as well. You know, he's a good man. I mean, good men don't come along that often. You know, someone that's solid, someone that prays, someone that serves without looking for recognition. Someone that supports me. Wow, that's a big one. That's big. That's a tall task right there. Keeping me out of trouble. Right, guys? Praying for the pastor, I'm telling you, and you're next, ladies. Wow, that's a tall order. Because, you know, we are constantly under assault by the enemy. You have no idea. It never lets up. Never lets up.
Coming up here this weekend, Joe, I asked Pastor particularly if we could, Pastor Ryan, I could pray for you. There's things he has showed me in your life that I'm not going to obviously talk about, but I will say this. God is the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. There's some areas in your life that hit you when you were young. And it's not important what they are. You know what they are. And oftentimes we look at our past and we say, oh, I can't go back and fix it, so I got to live with it. Which affects our decision-making in our modern-day life. Because we sometimes never measure up because of what happened there, but I can't go back and fix it. So what do I do? I don't know if that ever applies to anybody, but it applies to you, Joe. And the Lord told me today, he says, son, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Holy Spirit is not restricted to time. You cannot go back and fix what was done to you as a child or what was, or what things that happened to you that kind of put thinking in you that you're just not going to measure up, boy. And the Holy Spirit is not limited by time, not limited by years, is not limited. So what can happen is you can't go back and fix it. But brother, I know somebody. It's called Holy Spirit, can go back and undo and redo all those times in your life. And in the name of Jesus, I decree it done in your life right now. Right now. Because there's something coming your way that those obstacles that kept on saying, you're not qualified. You can't do that. Even has caused you somewhat, if you hear what I'm saying, to look at your job as that final qualifications, because I can do that job. And I'm not going to let it go because it's the only thing I can hang on to that makes me feel complete because I'm good. God said, I'm going to heal you of that. I don't know if he's going to change your job, but I got a suspicion some things are coming. Okay? Now, here's the other thing the Lord said, and I'll turn to Pastor Ryan. We have in front of us someone who is a deacon by nature. Deaconing is like putting a shirt on to you. I know you don't go by deacon, but that's the challenge, the Lord said. He says, because I made you an elder, but you're living a life of a deacon. And you can't quite get over that hump because of those things in the past. You say, well, I'm good with my hands. I can fix it. I'll let the more qualified do the major concisions and major responsibilities. And I'll be there and I'll support them. And you have been to these elders. You have been a support. Today is a day of change, Joe. Because your deaconing is going to be used for something to create in this church, what you do. And I sense, Pastor, if I may have a little bit of liberty here, that you're going to train up along, you're going to work and help Barbara. Because you know what has to be done here. And here's what the Lord's going to have you do. Because, Joe, you are not a deacon. You are an elder. You are not the hands. You're an overseer. And that's confusing in your life. In fact, I've heard you say at times, I'll just keep the place because I can do that well. And you do marvelously. And I'm not saying you're not going to be doing that. But you're going to find other people to do it. And on an eldership type of attitude, an eldership type, an overseer, you have the ability to train this church to serve the Lord with their hands. So the Lord says to you, Joe, this day you have served me as a deacon, but I made you an elder. From this day I want you to serve me as an elder to train up the deacons. Take your place with these two. Because Pastor said, you're not left out. You're on a path. And I have not got the permission to tell you what the path is yet. Your pastor has to tell you that. But you're not going to be just sitting here as Joe any longer. This church needs you to be an elder.
I just want to say that, God's ways are just not always that observable to us, and that they rarely are observable to us. And I want to tell you a story, and you'll have to, those of you, you listen, and you listen out here because you're somewhere in this story, okay? There's a woman, her name is Brenda. It's a true story. Her father is a cartoon animator. And Brenda goes out cliff climbing with some friends. And as she is climbing up the cliff, the rope that she's hanging on to snaps back, and the contact lens that was in her eye falls out. Now she's panicked because she's hanging on to these ropes onto the side of the cliff, worried about her contact lens, but she still manages to scale to the top of the cliff with her friends. Once up the top, she asks her friends, look and see if it maybe fell into my clothes. So she's shaking her clothes, maybe the contact lens is there. They don't find it. She's a Christian young woman, so she says, Lord, you know this entire area here, every leaf, every tree, you know where that contact lens is. If there's any way possible, Lord, please, can we find that contact lens? Now, fortunately, she doesn't have to go back down by the rope. She has a trail that takes her down to the bottom of the mountain. When they get down to the bottom of the mountain, another party is just getting ready to make their ascent up the ropes. A guy shouts out to her and says, anybody in your party lose a contact lens? She says, yeah, I did. He says, well, I've got it for you, but let me tell you where I found it. I was looking down the ground, and there was an ant who was carrying the contact lens. When she came home and told her father, who's a cartoon animator, he drew the ant with the contact lens and he wrote this caption underneath. Listen to this. Lord, I don't know why you want me to carry this thing. I can't eat it. I don't know what to do with it. But nevertheless, for your sake, if you want me to carry it, I'll carry it. Now, I just felt to tell you that story because I kind of feel like you're that ant. You know, things fall and you're like, okay. You know. But you got to remember, that ant has no idea. And it's just some things you're not going to have any idea until the Lord. Until the Lord, you got to just be okay with that. It's just got to be all right. Some of you have lost your contact lens. You know, and you're wondering, how am I going to get down or how are you going to get through? Or some of you are simply in the party with the person who lost the contact lens. Some of you saw the miracle where the contact lens was found. But we're all in this together. Amen.
The Lord just tell me prophetically to just one of the three elders to stand up here and hold your hands together. Pastor Mac, I want you and Kathy to come here. Now I want you to go in front of him, and I want you to hold your hands as a team. And I'm saying this to you because the three elders, you are a team. And there's going to come a day, God knows when these hands no longer will be connected. And the future of this house is in your hands. Hold your hands out. And Father, we commend in ensuing years this house into the hands of these elders. Father, let the mantle come on them. As long as Pastor Mac and Kathy are here, they all will continue to work as a team. But because now you two are ordained and you're on your way, on my way, does not separate and negate the team. This church will rise and fall to the unity of this teamship. It's you three that will guide the ship forward with the counsel of you two. How do I know this works? Because I've lived it for 12 years. I have a church that's thriving, and I have really nothing to do except I go there every Sunday. I sit there, and the pastor calls me and talks to me and that type of thing. But he took it and ran with it, and the elders, and that church is now thriving. Do not fear that this place is going to grant God's great destiny. Can you join with me in that church? Can you join with me? Can you now join this team? I'm doing this before Pastor Ryan and I leave here today because we never know what our future is. At my age, I don't know what my future is. But I do know this, while you're here, we must do what we have to do. And you three are the future. And there are young people that are going to come. I won't embarrass them, but there are young people in this church that are going to be raised up. And they're your deacons, and they're your new elders. But it's not you and them. It's all of you have got to make this thing work. If the enemy sends dissension with the three of you, don't make us go get Barbara. And put that fire out before it goes. So I encourage you. I don't want to prolong this. But the Lord just told me to do this. And I'm going to have Pastor Ryan, if it's all right with you, Pastor Ryan, come and pray. Because he is the founding overseer of this church. And the only way this course is going to be set properly is if he comes and sets the five of you as a team. But the three of you as the future.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there truly is an arrow, God, that has been established. There's a tip on this arrow. There's an arrowhead, Lord. There's a shaft, Lord. There's feathers, Lord, to help it fly straight. There's all this instrument called the arrow, God, that is working together, God, to hit the mark of what is the destiny of Freedom Worship Center. Thank you, God, for the feathers that are here, God, to keep this thing moving in a forward, straight direction. Thank you for a shaft, Lord, that is polished and oiled, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a sharp tip that can penetrate, Lord, through what needs to be penetrated to accomplish the ends that you have designed for the future and for the sake of this ministry. And so, Lord, as you've raised up these three, I know, Lord, there'll be a time when Mac will put that arrow into the bowstring and he'll pull back, Lord, and he'll shoot. And we thank you, Father, God, for the target has already been hit. It's already been set, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this bow and string, as well as for this arrow, God, the feather, the shaft, and the tip, Lord, in Jesus' name that you've raised up. And we look forward, God, to the shooting forth, God, and the launching of that which you're doing in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Picture I got.
Amen. And, you know, it's just as important for you to be in unity. You know, I want to just put this right out there. I don't want to hear rumors that I'm retiring or any of this nonsense. I don't believe in retiring. So I don't want to hear any of that talk. That's gossip. Will I be transitioning at some point? Absolutely. But I'm never leaving this church. You heard me say it last night. This is my home. Amen. And so even at the ripe young age of 73, God has much more planned for my life.
Amen.
And a lot of it is centered right here. That doesn't mean I have to be in the pulpit every Sunday or, you know, restricted in, you know, somebody else's understanding of who I am and who, what God has planned for me. I take orders from one person and one only. Headquarters. My Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. I'm not so deaf that I cannot hear. I'm deaf at times, yes. And so, yes, of course, but he's just prophesying what they know I've already said to them. I've said all of this to them. They are going to lead the church into the future, into this next season. Will I be here to see it? God has promised me I will be here to see this house full.
Amen.
And I believe God. And so, you know, don't look at empty chairs. Start praying that God fills them with the right people, not just people, but the right people. That's who we want, who God has handpicked to link arms with us in this place and move forward with the call of God and the purposes that God and the mantle and the anointing that God has placed on this house. That's how it works in the kingdom. All right. Nothing happens without prayer. Do you believe that? No, I mean, I'm asking you seriously, do you believe that? And certainly, nothing happens without intercessory prayer. So, I want to call up ones that you recognize yourself as an intercessor. You've already been having various meetings for quite some time now where you pray for the church, you pray for the pastors, the leaders, and so forth. But I think it's important, if you know that you have an anointing as an intercessor, you step out of your comfort zone today and come up here and receive prayer and anointing, that God will begin to use you in that area of your life where he may not have used you previously. So we need two wheelchairs to come up. Even though they're embarrassed to be in a wheelchair, it's necessary right now. And I just challenge others too to take that step. You know, it's a very valuable servant's role in the house. You know, the only thing that qualifies you as an intercessor is being available and being willing. That's it. You know, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. Well, looky here. Oh, her husband made her do it. Then you better sit down if the Lord's not making
you. You said it too.
Oh, I said it too.
You're pushing me too.
Okay. Well, that's good. We need to be pushed sometimes. So, you, Pastor Al and Pastor Ryan, you certainly know how invaluable intercessory prayer is to your house and to your ministry. And so, bring a word of encouragement. And you might notice it's all ladies. Men, where are you? We're all called to be intercessors. There's never, and there never will be, a shortage of needs to be seeking the Lord of hosts, the King of Kings, for.
Well, certainly first to be an intercessor is to be literally at the crossroads of where pain and suffering and where God is desiring to work. You're at that intersection. You're receiving a flow of information both from people and the needs and the hurts that are there. And at the same time, God is wanting to work. And at the same time, the enemy is also trying to create frustration, distraction. How long, Lord? You know, I think of Habakkuk. How long? Intercessors can't grow weary in well-doing. You think about Jesus on the cross. Here you are, ladies, incapacitated to some degree, but certainly while Jesus was on the cross, incapacitated, his hands and his feet fixed, he prayed. He interceded. Oftentimes people don't know why. Sometimes, you know, they're struck down, or it seems. You know, they're rendered immobilized due to some viral thing or some sickness or some kind of limited disability. And I've told people many times, maybe God's called you to intercede. There's too many distractions when we can just get up and go and do and whatever. But, you know, being in this place, we can do some of the finest work that needs to be done. And it is work. Intercession is work. It's work to stay focused. It's work to feel the heart of God and the pain of people. You feel it. You feel it in your body. You feel it in your mind. It takes its toll on you, you know. So it's a noble work. And we are told to pray one for another. You know, this is noble work. Paul regularly asked the church, pray for me. He regularly called upon the church to pray for him. Your pastors are asking you, and now these elders and deacons, and you know, pray for us, you know. How do you do that? You just create a list. You know, intercession is one of those things I think that requires discernment and listening to the Holy Spirit. It's not just, oh, I think I'll pull out my list. You know, this isn't a grocery list. This is, okay, God, what are you calling me to pray for? It's listening to him and then getting very focused and digging in. Some answers come quickly. Some takes a long time. Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 10, and it was 21 days. But the angel reassured him, I heard you the first day, but we've been battling some real strongholds, and God had to send another angel to deal with the principality and power that was. See, you're dealing with principalities and powers. I mean, they don't see wheelchairs. They don't see, you know, we got a woman in our church, her name is Landon. She's quadriplegic, actually. I tell you, I wouldn't go to church without her. She rolls that chair around and interceding and praying and real battles going on, you know. And that's you guys, all of you that are here. It's an army of intercession, and the enemy, you know, cannot defeat. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for the army of intercession that you are raising and have raised up already in this house. We pray, God, for strength. We pray for courage. We pray for renewed hopefulness, Lord. Some of these have been praying for a long time, the same thing, knocking on the same door, seeking in the same direction. Yet, Lord, I pray there be a continued hopefulness. They're carrying something here, Lord. It's a heavy burden at times. They're being afflicted, Lord, as they intercede on behalf of others, Lord Jesus. I pray you put a hedge of protection, that you would surround them even now, guarding them, watching over them. Lord, that your heavenly angels, Lord, the angel armies that are spoken of so often in Scripture, would surround these, even this church, Lord Jesus, the enemy would not be able to gain a single foothold. There'd be not even so much as an open window for which he could have access. Lord, because of the intercession of this house, it would be locked up tight. There'd be no thief here. There'll be no robber that'll sneak in. There'll be no destroyer here. No liar that can twist the truth and wrangle people and deceive them. Lord, thank you for these intercessors. May their lives be blessed. May there be, as Jacob, when he prophesied over his sons, to one son, he said, you're going to have fruit that's going to extend even out over the wall. Even where we can't see, Lord, the fruit occurring, may these, God, know that there is fruit that is reaching even over the walls that they're blind to, God, that others are being nourished and satisfied and supplied because, Lord, of their faithfulness in prayer, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, that there is a constant and sufficient resistance to the enemy's work in this house. Bless these, Lord, and continue to raise up more. For we know, God, this final battle upon earth is a spiritual battle that's being waged now, and you're calling the intercessors forward. They will go first. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
I just wanted to share quickly. I have a tree. Then I look out my dining room table. It's a huge, beautiful tree. It's last to bloom and last to fall the leaves off, and often look at that tree and I ask, Lord, why is that so beautiful? He says, because the tree's height is only as high and strong as the roots that go deep into the ground. You're the roots. Roots grow not when it's sunny and not when it's nice out. Roots grow in the wintertime, when it's cold and the wind is cold and the elements are always fighting the roots. We might say that's not fair, because why are the roots always? Because the fight makes the roots strong. And in the spring, that tree will grow in direct proportion to what the roots understood in the wintertime and went deeper for life. Be encouraged, because the height of the tree always relies on the breadth and depth of the roots. And I'll leave this with you, because the Lord just shared this with me, is that this house and the ministry of this house will go as high as the roots grow deep. You're the root. Oh, you see the pastors and you see everybody else up there doing their thing. And here I'm interceding, and I'm looking at your eyelids when you were closing. I saw a weariness in your eyelids. I don't usually see that. But the Lord said, today I'm going to lift the weariness off your eyelids. I'm going to give you a new fight. The elements are not cost you to and fro, will not toss you to and fro. But there's a fight coming. There's some things coming in this world. And it's not going to be won by fancy preachers. It's going to be won by those who are on their knees, fighting and warring under the ground, so to speak, where all the elements are fighting. But the roots are saying, no, no, no. You're not taking down my tree. Because that tree stands on the roots of prayer.
Okay, because of time constraints last night, we actually did not pray for healing room team members like we would have desired, so we're going to take that time this afternoon. So anybody who's still here, healing room team members, please come up.
Well, I want to ask you guys kind of the same thing with the worship team. What do you think the greatest, I don't know, obstacle or hindrance do you think in this ministry would be for either you personally or for the ministry at large? What's the big need? We know what the needs are out there, but as a team, what's the great prayer? More people to be a part of this team? Mm-hmm. More staff. Staff shortage. All the time, doing trainings. Great. Anything else? Yeah, to be more available to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the whole goal, to have more people, then there's greater availability for those who have need of as a resource for their healing and so forth. I agree. Amen. Yeah. Right. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this ministry. We thank you. It is a ministry where the Holy Spirit is demonstrated in the various operational giftings, words of knowledge, word of wisdom, words that break yokes and bondages in people's lives, words of deliverance, words of healing, all ministered through men and women, God, who have great compassion, whose hearts are overflowing with love and with grace, God, to provide a shelter, God, from the oppressor who seeks to pounce and take advantage of these, Lord, whom he has held captive in some prison, God, for some time. I thank you, God, that together, Lord, this team would be given, Lord, keys. Lord, and like a key, there are many notches, Lord, in the key to unlock a door. Each one serves a particular notch in that key, Lord, and they come together as a team to unlock that door that's held that person a prisoner for so long in their lives. Bless them, God, to work in unity. Bless them, Lord, to work in the spirit of grace. Bless them, God, to work in a spirit of understanding and compassion and empathy, Lord, and comfort. We pray, God, you would add to the team, Lord, because, Lord, the only thing that they can think of to pray for is we want more opportunity. We want to see this ministry extended to more people. But because of the numbers of workers we have, we can only open the doors at certain times. God, we're praying, God, that there would be a greater team, that you would raise up more workers to be trained, God, that there could be more opportunities for deliverance, that other congregations would entrust even, Lord, their members to the staff of this house, that they know they're going to be treated with kindness, they're going to be treated with empathy, with comfort, with compassion, and yet at the same time they're going to be delivered and healed and set free, and they're going to go back to their home church with a testimony. They're going to go back out into where they worked, where people had saw them as one way, and they're going to see them now in a whole different spirit, like the woman, Lord, who met you at the well, and Lord, you opened her heart up, and she went into the city and began to broadcast all the things that you said and made known, and she was like an evangelist, Lord, and people came to hear you themselves after her testimony. So also we pray for those, Lord, who are yet to be delivered and yet to be healed, yet to be sent, that like the woman at the well, they would go forth into the various places, Lord, homes, businesses, locations, and neighborhoods, and bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless these, Lord. I thank you, God, for their willingness. They too, Lord, when they avail themselves, feel the pain. They feel the hurts. They can't help but identify hurts in their own life when they're praying for others. And that compassion just rolls out of them, God. Bless them, Lord, to remain whole and healthy, God, in their spiritual lives, in their physical lives, and everything that has to do with them, God, because they are on those front lines, Lord, rescuing and hostages, Lord Jesus, those that have been taken captive, rescuing them and unlocking the doors and breaking down the walls and the barriers, Lord, that have hindered these individuals. Bless this ministry, God. Bless these workers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God.
I believe what the Lord's telling me is, to the degree that you have unwavering faith is the degree that you're going to witness extraordinary miracles, way well beyond what you've already experienced. And I'm not diminishing that or discounting that, but I believe, you know, God, through His Holy Spirit, is going to invade this house. He is going to invade and show who He is in ways that we just do not know Him as yet. So get ready, because it means I have to change. It means you have to change to embrace this move of God. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be life-changing to those who respond in faith. Amen? So our intention for this afternoon was to pray for ministry leaders and ministries, and pretty much we've done that. But I asked permission from Kate and Rich to pray for them as a couple. They've had some challenges, shall we say. We'll just say it that way. More than one in recent years. And, you know, it's easy to get weary. It's easy to for doubt to creep in, for the enemy to distract and speak lies. You know, that's what he does. And so we're going to ask you both to come up, and we're going to, yeah, that'd be good. We're going to pray for you and encourage you in the faith. And, you know, there's a deposit in this couple that has not been tapped. And, you know, that's no secret. Life can be tough and challenging. My prayer is that those very challenges are going to be the very things that force the deposit of Christ in them to the surface and to shine and to be used in ways they never even considered. You know, you can't put God in a box. We heard that earlier, last night, I think. Joe was talking about that when he shared. And, you know, my heart is filled with hope for everyone here, but they need a booster shot. And we're here to stand with the Lord and stand with them and be those instruments, those hands that pray that prayer of faith. And you can agree with us as God gives utterance and so forth. But, you know, sometimes it's so easy to feel that you're unappreciated or you're not noticed or you're not loved.
Hallelujah. What is the church anyway? But relationships. Relationship with Jesus. Relationship with the Holy Spirit. Relationship with the Father. Relationship with one another. That's what it is. It's not an institution. It's not a corporation. CEO and this connection. It's relationships. That's what's been important to you. That's still what's important to you. That's what's important to all of us. That's what reflects Christ. Relationship. Jesus was about that. He said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you is what he said to his disciples. And yet it looked like it. He was crucified. It looked like he was gone. But what they had to do was see him in a whole new way after the resurrection. And sometimes when we're going through stuff or, you know, things feel different, it's that God's saying, you got to see what's going on in a whole new way. Nothing's changed as much as you think it's changed. It's the same. You just got to see it differently. And God has to adjust us to be able to do that. That's why I think our prayer's about today. Lord Jesus, we pray for our brother and our sister, and we thank you for them. And we pray, God, that, Lord, you will heal, you will encourage, but most of all, Lord, raise them up. Raise them up right now, Lord, to be able to see you in a whole new way, working in them, working through them, working in the relationships, God, that are so vital, so critical, so important. I think of the Apostle Paul, Lord, as he greeted more than 100 people throughout his journeys, mentioned many of them by name, called a brother, called a fellow soldier, fellow worker. Oh, men and women, all listed there, vital importance to his life. And these people are of vital importance to us, Lord, in this church, in this family, in these relationships, God. It doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We're family, and we struggle, and there's wars and rumors of wars, and there's this and there's that, and there's pulling and tugging, and there's disappointments. It's called life, life which you promised never to leave us or forsake us in, but for which we need to see you very differently at times, working in and through those situations in our life. But you never leave us. You never abandon us. Bless my brother and my sister now. Let a holy anointing come upon them and a peacefulness, O God. Where there's been torment, O God, I pray for peace. Where there's been confusion, I pray, God, for understanding. Where there's been pain, I pray, God, for comfort. Where there has been a weakness that's been exhibited, Lord, I pray for strength. Where there has been, God, even misunderstanding, God, let there suddenly be, you know, it doesn't matter. Why do I think it matters so much? What, you matter. Our relationship with you matters, and with one another, and with these people, God, this is what matters. Bless them, Lord. Heal them, I pray now, and visit them, O God. They may not know when they get up from these chairs today what has happened, but I pray, God, over the next several hours, this afternoon, evening, tomorrow, into next week, they'll realize, oh my gosh, it's suddenly been a change. I don't feel quite the same way. God did something. I don't understand it. I can't observe it. I can't put a name on it. But I know when I sat in that chair and when I got up differently than when I sat down. I pray that right now in Jesus' name for healing, 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 healing.
First of all, I want to say something because I have some knowledge of stuff that's going on because you shared it with me. So I want to keep things pure, but I am going to pray some things that the Lord has told me to pray for you. Oftentimes people ask, how can you live the life you live, and don't you have any problems, and don't you have this, and don't you have that? And I tell people this. I said, my life, the stepping stones of my life are built on the chaos, the trauma, the rejections. My stepping stones is where God came in and rescued me when I felt like a piece of garbage that I couldn't go anymore. The stepping stones is God's faithfulness. And God knows everything you're going through right now. He knows your pain. He knows your discouragement. He also knows that you've disqualified yourself because of what's going on in your life. You don't feel right doing some things. And that's the enemy throwing stuff at you. That's not God. God's mercy and God's grace is greater than our failures. It's greater. I know you lost a son. And Lord, if with your permission, I want to share a story. Is that all right with you? When I lost my mother, I went 2 years with an emptiness, a hole in my heart. I was pastoring at that time. There were times I left my office, I turned around and went back, and I said, I can't do this, God, because I don't have anything inside anymore. No matter what I have, it doesn't fill that void. And he said, son, and I'll never forget this, the fact I have a picture in my preaching notebook, it's still there after all these years. I was standing at the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't have to be standing there to do, have what happened to you happen to me. But I finally said, God, I can't do this. I'm not going to minister anymore. I don't measure up to what I preach because what this emptiness is inside me. He says, oh, that emptiness was not created by you. The emptiness is the void of my presence where your mother had a position in your heart. I mean, he said to me, Kate and Rich, if you will allow me to replace the place your mother had, the hole, with my presence, you will never hurt again, but you'll rejoice whenever the enemy throws that emptiness at you. And that's where you're at. After all these years, no matter what you two try to do, that emptiness is just not filled. But I am saying to you today, that's over. With your permission, I'm going to pray that God replace that emptiness with his presence. And you will worship God in a way you've never worshipped before, because you've always had to pass that place to worship. You've always had to go past that pain and that hurt and that devastation. I'll work by it, Lord, to get you. I'll worship you, but I'm going to work by it. Well, from this day forward, I decree and declare to you that that hurt, that pain, that emptiness is now filled by Holy Spirit. And instead of it being a hindrance that you've got to walk through and fight through just to get the emotion to raise your voices to worship the living God, it will be a stepping stone for you. It will be like a jet propelled. No longer will you have to fight through it, but it'll be a propellant to send you into my presence, into my worship. Let chaos have its way, but it'll never own you. You've gone through a lot in your household. The enemy has had assignment with your marriage. Why? Because there's a weakness there, because you've been hurt. This day, that is over. And when you walk in your house, you're going to feel a wholeness. You're going to feel completeness. You're going to know that God's touched you. And I decree to the two of you today a healing in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I decree to you today that you no longer will feel unqualified to lead the people in worship, but you'll understand the mercy and grace of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that by his grace you have been set free. By his stripes you have been healed, and by his resurrection you have been placed in heavenly places. You don't have to fight the earthly fact to worship me any longer. Just worship me from where you're seated. And you're seated in heavenly places above all the pain, all the chaos, and all the stuff. I'm going to birth music in both of you. I'm going to birth music. a spiritual worship. The Lord is telling me, you've relied on canned songs to get your emotion going enough. You will no longer have to do that. Call upon my name, and I'll put a song of the Spirit inside you. I will raise you up past all your stuff. I'm going to change your priorities in your home. I'm going to redo your home. I'm going to do it from the inside out. This day, we come in agreement. All in this room, we come to an agreement. And if you, that you are healed, and we stand with you, rise up, son and daughter of God. Accept your healing. Accept your deliverance. And start praising and living that life that I've called you. I break off, particularly you, Kay, I break off this disqualification the enemy put in your spirit, that you felt like a phony, that you felt, I just can't measure up anymore, God. All these problems are destroying me. No, these problems would not destroy you anymore. For the Lord said that he's going to put the problems and the issues under the Lord's feet. Well, I got something to declare to you. We are the body, and we are the feet. So God will put the problems that you've been suffering under your feet. Instead of fighting them anymore, you'll simply step on them, and you'll realize, oh my God, I realize. Oh my God, I realize. That what used to hit me, I now stand on as a stepping stone for a new life. I decree this in your life in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
Yeah, and the scripture God gave me to go with that, and, you know, it sounds like, oh, isn't this great? But this is where the work begins. It says, I think it's in Philippians, God is at work in me both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That means you don't get your way, not just you. This is for all of us. But we have to submit to that internal work of Holy Spirit and admit, you know what? I can't do it. I am powerless to do it unless he does something in my life to fix it. And that's a perfect scripture that goes with what you're saying, Pastor. And so this is a day of hope. Amen? This is a day of new hope. And we will not... You will not be defeated. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Just checking in with my brothers in Christ. We are done for today. We feel like God has accomplished that which he had desired to today. And there'll be plenty of opportunity for prayer for any of you tomorrow. I don't want you to feel like, you know, disappointed or overlooked, but maybe tomorrow is going to be your day. So I release you in Jesus' name for an awesome rest of the afternoon, and I know I need an awesome night's sleep. No, I'm not going to tell them because then they'll show up early.